Do better? Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Thankful for our salvation and just the victory we have in Christ. Thankful for a copy of your word that we can take our time and study it out and see it in the context when it was written and also see how it can be applied to our lives. And Lord, I think of Julie now. I'm thankful that her surgery went well and she's recovering well. I'll continue to heal her. I think of our family friend Tara, who had a stroke, Lord, and now is in a coma there in Harborview in Seattle, that you would just be with her. Thankful for her progress that she has made, and be with the family during this time. Lord, for all of our sick family members and friends, that you would just encourage them and comfort them. Lord, I know there's a lot of illnesses going on right now. And Lord, I pray for all of our missionaries, too, all across the world. You would encourage them, allow them to feel that they're not alone, that the work that they are doing is the purpose behind it. And Lord, we ask that you just reveal truth to us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, we're going to be in Galatians again, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And first we'll go over the context of what's happening here in Galatia, and then we'll see what it means to us and how we can apply it to our lives. So, and Paul has done a good job so far at Galatia, talking to them, and what's happening is these people that were saved, Paul taught them truth, but over time, after Paul left, the Judaizers came in and said, yeah, believe in Jesus and follow the law, right? Believe in Jesus and follow the law. So what happened was, it's pretty interesting, is people who, not on purpose, leaving their faith, but not being discipled enough to go, oh, this is wrong. So they ignorantly are following him in this sin. And so Paul is encouraging the mature believers, hey, those of you that have not been swayed and have not walked away, those of you that are spiritual need to see these brothers that are walking in ignorance and restore them back to Jesus Christ. All right? So that's what's happening. So mature believers, when they see someone in the context following after the law and wanting to adopt that, and most of them in their heart, they want to do what's right. They're thinking, okay, this is the way we're going to do it. Sounds good. You know, they're eager and zealous to do it, but they're eager and zealous in sin. You know, and once you start doing that, it just leads to more sin and more sin and more sin. And then they realize, you ever been around someone where they go, man, how did I get here? Sometimes it starts with something ignorant. But ignorantly wrong is going to lead to more sin. Doesn't mean that's right. It's just the difference between, like, the law was given because of transgression, right? Galatians teaches. They were on purpose going against God, right? They were on purpose sinning against God. So that's what the law was given. These people aren't on purpose wanting to hurt God. They're saved, and the guy comes in, they start following him, going, okay, this is how we're going to do it, right? So it's more of an ignorant sin, and the mature believers are supposed to spot this and bring them back to the fold here, if you will. All right, so Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers, if a man is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, watching yourselves, lest you also be tempted. All right, I'm going to try and do some notes today. You kind of self-evaluate, right, every year. And so one thing that is a weak point for me is following my notes. I like to really just kind of go with the flow, you know. So I'll try not to be too boring. I'll try and still stick with my personality here while following notes. So there's two types of methods going on here. One is this. One is taught that I'm spirit-led. I'm following God in my spirit, and I'm allowing the Lord to teach me because, again, the only teaching going on is from what they're taught, right? It's oral. It's verbal. It's coming out. They don't have a book yet. This letter just got delivered, right? So before this letter is getting delivered, they're only going off on what they were taught by Paul and the teachers that know these things, correct? And then the other one is we're following the law, right? We're going back, which, let's think about this for a second. When the law was given, it was given to a human race that was in their fallen state, correct? They were in the Adamic nature. Amen? So again, the law shows those who are in their Adamic nature that you cannot do it. That's, you will sin, right? That's what the law is proving. Now, what they're doing is this. They're saved and they're born again. And when they go after the law, they're going after a truth that was good, but they're putting themselves back under the Adamic nature, if you will, to follow that. So now it's all flesh, right? Now, the Holy Spirit could come and go, correct? Prophets, priests, and kings, we know that. But the nation, that law was given when man was in his Adamic state, and that's why we try and follow the law. You can't follow the law now and please God, because it's going, you're reverting back to the Adamic nature, back to the flesh. So the only way that you can do the law is to go back to when I was in an unsaved state, because that's when it was given for. That makes sense? All right. So that's what Christ, you know, teaches. You're freed from the law. You're freed from that. The law wasn't given to the Gentiles anyways, right? It was given to the Jews. It wasn't even for the Gentiles unless they wanted to be, proselytized. Thank you. Unless they wanted to be proselytized. And God would say, yes, you guys can come in. You guys can come in and follow the law. That's fine. It was given for the Jewish nation. So these guys are coming in, teaching this. There's two methods going on, two ways of teaching. And so Paul is relying on the mature believers here. Again, these guys haven't been saved long, right? But they're the zealous ones that have not stumbled. They have not gone astray. And he's relying on them. You need to do something. You got to do something about this. Now, when he addresses those of you, it's to everyone. He's not saying those in leadership, those who were called, those who are fill in the blank, have a certain title. He's saying, listen, those of you who are mature, you have got to go out of your way and restore such an one back. You got to confront them on their sin, correct? It's not that today, in Christianity today. I think a lot of times people are sincerely saved, but then sincerely following after what they don't know, right? They don't know. They don't have a connection between them and the Holy Spirit yet. Like the Holy Spirit may convict them on, hey, this is wrong, but they might not know what it is, right? That they go, okay, I have a burning in my heart, or they have whatever it is. They don't know. They don't have that experience to go, oh, it's because it's false teaching. That's why. They get saved. They're not discipled. So they go on their own to a church hopping, and they go, where's what I'm looking for? And then they go back to what makes me feel what? Good. Back to the flesh, right? Well, I felt good here. The doctrine's totally wrong. But man, I felt good. I felt warm. I felt welcome. And that's not bad, right? Humanism isn't bad in a sense. People were nice. I felt good. I liked the music. But the teaching's off. But they sit through it because they felt good. They felt comfortable. So they ignore what's going on in the teaching that hasn't been developed yet, right? Or there are some cases, again, it's a case-by-case scenario, right? Someone walks in and they're hearing teaching and they go, you know what? Something's not right here. Something's not right. But in that context of Galatians 6, it's those who, like in Corinthians, they're eating food offered to idols and that's not even bothering them. Right? They're not even convicted on it. They're not even showing like, hey, this is wrong. Paul just say, hey, listen, when food's offered to idolatry, you can't eat that food. Right? Because they would offer it to their false gods and then they would present it to people. You could actually buy some, take it home and have it at your house, or they would buy it and they would have it out in the marketplace and you could eat it. Paul was saying, hey, when food's offered to idols, you can't eat that. Now, your way of escape is this. If someone buys that, invites you to their house, and you don't have to ask where it came from. But if you do ask where it came from, they tell you it was offered to the idols, you have to say, I can't eat it. As long as you don't ask, and they invite you, then you can eat it. Interesting, isn't it? Again, they're eating food offered to idols. Not bothering them. I'm not convicted on it. They're just eating away like we always do, right? And Paul said, whoa, 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 hold on, guys. What does Belial have with God? Don't do that. Don't do that. So they had to be taught that, correct? There are some things the Holy Spirit will allow you to do in your ignorance that he will not show you. That's like a lot of false teaching, correct? So when we read the Bible, sometimes we read something. How many of you have read your Bible and thought one thing and then later go, oh, that's not true, that's wrong? Right, who hasn't? Exactly. You can't. No one can sit and tell me, every time I read the Bible, I've always studied it out in its perfect context. No. And did the Lord convict you on that? No, you thought it was a truth, right? You thought, man, this is great. Wow, I'm reading this for the first time. I'm actually excited about something that's actually wrong. Right? Wow, this has been revealed to me. I didn't know this before. I'm excited. You study it out and go, oh, man, now that I know this, and now that I know this, and now that I know this, trust me, how I preached 8 years ago is not how I preach now. The truth. That's different. I've learned some things. That's not what it means. Now, I'm preaching with passion, compassion. I'm preaching with the same vigor as I always do. And I believe it wholeheartedly. I'm not even convicted. There's no sin there. I actually think it's of God. And then a year later, I go, whoa, hold on a second here. I was wrong. Then you got to come back a year later to the pulpit and say, hey, guys, remember a year ago I taught on this? Actually, doesn't mean that. It means this. Oh, okay. Same thing. Holy Spirit allowed you to freely think that that was true. And then years later, or a year later, or maybe 2 days later, I don't know, you go, whoa, that's actually not what it means. It means this. So I say all that to say that's where they were at here. They're saved, but they're following after a truth that is not truth anymore. It's still a law. It has served its purpose. But that's the whole point of Galatians, is you're freed from the law. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Once the schoolmaster came, we're no longer under the law. So every born-again believer who has not been swayed to follow after the law has a responsibility to verse number 2. You ready? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, in the context, it's that burden of them going astray, right? And saying, hey, I have to confront you on this. Now, Paul taught us that we're freed from the law. Now, I know you don't mean this on purpose, but you're following up to something that we're no longer to be following. We're freed from this. Remember when Paul was here? We'll talk here in a second. When Paul was here, he taught us that Christ fulfilled the law. When he died, the veil was ripped in two. He rose from the dead. And now that is all gone away now. Now it's Christ in us. Now it's Christ in us. And we can go to God between us and God. We don't have to do the works of the law anymore. Now there are good works we're supposed to do because we're saved unto good works. But we don't look to the law. We don't go back to following that. That way of living showed you cannot do it. And in Christ, we're freed from that. You can do it. Because it's God in you. Go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So burden bearing, yes. Right, so the law of Christ is the teaching that Christ has to go along with your brother and help them. Mm-hmm. That's the law of Christ. So I'm going to bear your burden of your sin going astray. I'm going to come alongside you and help you to go the right way. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to bear your burden. I'm going to come alongside you. Which means that it's selfless, right? So what burden bearing? This is a life pressure right here. The pressure of bearing others' burdens. The life pressure of bearing others' burdens. Now when I see that someone is burdened down, we'll take it out of context and apply it to our life, in a sin that's holding them back from following the Lord, those of us who are spiritual need to go alongside them. If I see it, I cannot be willingly ignorant. I can't say, well, I'll pray for you. I mean, I can. Why don't you come alongside them and help them? That means I have to change my schedule. I have to change my calendar. Now I have to start scheduling things that are important to God and God's kingdom other than mine and my kingdom. See the difference? So I'm going to give up what I have scheduled for me to benefit someone else. Which means I have to drive there or walk there. And whenever you schedule something, it never goes according to plan, right? It's always longer. We meet for an hour. It's always an hour and a half, two. It's never an hour, and you know that. And you're sitting with someone who is struggling, and you know what comes with struggling, right? Exhaustion. You're trying to help them. They're trying. You're going to get frustrated, maybe. It's an investment. And when I'm investing in someone else's life who is struggling, we all know what investing in someone else's life looks like. We've all raised kids, right? We know what that looks like. God's saying, hey, you took time to raise your kids, take time to raise my kids. Raise my kids. Now, they're not all children. They're adults, right? They're adults. So in Galatians, okay, go alongside them and bear their burden with them. Help them. Qualification is there. Those of you who are spiritual. Those of you that have not gone astray, when you see that, you got to go get them. All right, so let's look at verse number 3 here. I haven't even followed my notes. I gave up on it already. It was a dumb news resolution that I've already quit on. If you want a copy, I'll print one out for you. Okay, verse 3. For if someone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So this has to do with myself analyzing myself against someone else, putting them down. Kind of like the beam and the moat type thing, right? So I don't ever compare myself with someone else and go, oh man, that's on you, bro. That's on you. Yeah, you messed up. You did wrong. I'm not like that. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Pride comes before a fall. I believe that principle still applies today. They're saying, hey, those of you that are spiritual, don't think that you're better than them. You're going to deceive yourself. Because in the very act of thinking you're better than someone, you're in sin yourself. It's pride. But let each one examine his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone. So I'm going to examine what I'm doing. So when I can go to God humbly and say, okay, I'm examining the life that I'm allowing or that I'm living for Christ. Christ is living through me. Now, if I'm honest, there are going to be areas in that life where I go, okay, I know I have victory. I know I can do it. Here are some areas I need to be better at. Here are some areas I need to submit to. Now, there's a difference in saying it that way and doing it that way than, okay, I'm always going to sin. That's not true. You're freed from sin. I'm always going to struggle. That's not true. You're freed from that. Okay? Kind of gets frustrating when I hear in the radio station these songs that just talk about, oh, there's no hope. I mean, 95% of songs on the radio that I listen to, man, it's depressing. It is depressing Christian music. Man, we're always struggling. We're always in sin. We're just getting by. Oh, man, it's such heartache and toil. And are you kidding me? I think Jesus said, I've come to give you joy more abundantly. The songs I'm hearing on the Christian radio station, there's no joy there. It's like, woe is me, I have it worse than everyone else. And it's just like, oh man, this Christian life thing's so rough and difficult, and it's always going to be a struggle. Power off. That's nowhere in Scripture. But we think that. People are being taught that. It's always going to be a fight. It's always going to be a struggle. It's always going to be tough. It's always going to be... That's not true. You're free from all that. Are the times when life's going to throw you a curveball? Absolutely. You have three enemies, world, flesh, and devil. But even then, you know how to react to it. So I'm examining myself with my work between me and God. And then when I do that, I can humbly say, you know what? I'm not going to judge someone or I'm not going to do that to them because I know where I'm at. I'm not talking about judging righteous judgment, because you need to have that, right? You need to be having righteous judgment calls. You're in sin. You got to call people out. we're afraid nowadays. All this huge movement on touchy-feely. Don't call anybody out. No body shaming, no this, no that. Hey, if you're in sin and you're a brother in Christ, I'm calling you out. That's not true. You can't live like that. It'll be out of love. I'm not going to be like whacking over there with the Bible. But we get so nervous to offend people and hurt someone's feelings for the cause of Christ. They're not hurting you. They're hurting Jesus. When they retaliate towards you, it's because they're convicted. You're just a person in the way on Jesus in you. It's a Jesus in you they're mad at. It shouldn't be. So if they say, hey, examine your own self, and then you'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, this rejoicing isn't like self-righteousness, like, yeah, look what I did. It's not, I'm relying on Christ going, hey, thank God, I'm able to do this. I am free. I didn't go astray. By God's grace, that's the difference. Only God's grace allowed me to do this. All right, now we get into each person, verse 5, for each one shall bear his own burden. So now we have people bearing other people's burdens in the church, right? Here in Galatia, the main one being walking away and following the law. We can apply it to other sins. I'm going to walk alongside. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to help you through this. I'm taking time out of my day, my life, my family, my friends to come alongside you and help you get back to your Creator. Help you get back in line with Him. Help you get right on the right track. Back with Him. And then he says, and at the same time, let all of you bear your own burdens. Now, in the context, again, they're all young Christians, right? So when he's writing to them, they're young. There's going to come a point to where this might not apply. They might not have any burdens. They might not have a sin or something they're stumbling in or something they're tempted to always do. They might not have that. Got to remember, when this is written, it's written for that time of what they're going through then. And there might come a day where they might not have a burden. They're freed from all that. They're mature in Christ. Bible tells us you can be complete in Christ. You can be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. That perfection there, that perfectness, is not sinless perfection, if you will. But I am mature enough to not always give in. I'm not tossed back to and fro. I'm not easily swayed. I am steady. I'm steady. I'm on the rock, and the rocks keep me steady. I'm not moving here, moving there. Every thought that comes to my mind, I'm going to follow after like a dog chasing a ball. No, I'm steady. Last circumstance comes my way. I evaluate. Goes to the Spirit, and it comes out. Now, there are times when you will sin, but you're not going to live in sin, and you're not going to be followed after sinful things. I'm not given to that. I'm not tempted anymore to do all that. Make sense? You see the difference? There's a difference there. So what I put in is what I'm going to get out. And me conforming to the image of Christ isn't just for me. That's good. It needs to happen. But it's also to help others conform to the image of Christ. And that's where the church, I feel, is dropping the ball as a whole, across the world. That's what we want to focus on at the Way Church, is, hey, we're going to come alongside and help you. We're taking time out of our day. Our schedule is going to be flexible and changeable to see people walk with the Lord. To walk with Him. That's all that matters now. It's the Lord's work. It's all that matters. My things are filled in. But I'm scheduling God things first. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're going to bear our own burdens. Verse 6, let him who is taught in the word share all good things to him who teaches. So, these burden bearers are supposed to take this word, or take these people and go back to the teachers that are teaching the right way, so they can get back under the right kind of teaching. Right? Let's get back over here. Let's get back to where what Paul taught us. So we're all going to come back together, sit down or stand up, however they did it back then. Now we're going to be getting taught again from the beginning on Christ in us. Because like Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's the teaching we want to be back under. Right? Christ in me. Not the law. Not following commandments and rituals. Again, they were ignorant, right? They followed after ignorantly. Oop, going over here. So we're convicted on it. They decided, hey, I'm excited, I'm saved, this is what they're teaching us. All right, let's do it. no, that's not what God wants for us. Let's go back over here. And we help them back to the right teachers. You see how the whole body is playing a part here? That's by design. Christ is the head. We're the body. We're the body. See, in the Old Testament, when Christ said, there are 99 sheep and one goes astray, they're part of the fold. That one that went astray isn't an unsaved person. It's one who was a part of the fold, the Old Testament, the Jew, and that Jew went astray. I'm going to go get him. Now, the same aspect, we can look at it like this. We have believers in Christ who are saved. They follow some false teaching, and we can go alongside and say, hey, I see that you're following after something that's not true. I want to help bring you back. God will give you the wisdom what to say and how to say it. Hey, let's come on back over here. Or I'll meet you every day. Or I'll meet you once a week. And we'll go over the truth. Does that make sense? All right, before I go on, is there any questions up to this point? We have a few minutes here before I keep on going here. Nothing up to this point? No? A lot of thinking going on? Okay. All right, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, I lost my place. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. For if the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap. If we do not give up, therefore as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So if anybody were to be good towards, it's who? Yeah, believers. Believers. When you watch stuff on TV and you guys probably think the same thing I do. Just do what Galatians 6 says. They're of the faith. Just be good to them. Just be good to them. Don't make it your vendetta to go against the one thing that you disagree with. Or whatever. No, let it go. I'm not going to allow what they're doing over there control my emotions, control me. I'm not here to change another brother and their doctrine or whatever. I'm just going to do good to them. Now, I'll confront them maybe and say, hey, this is where you're wrong. But I'm here to work for the Lord. Not for that person, not for that pastor. Does that make sense? I left on my plate. I'm not going to try and tweak something that he's believing is true. Got my closing music there, Dennis? Music to be played, right there. Yeah, it was there. You're right on cue, Dennis. One thing I didn't touch on was to do it in meekness, so in humility there. Again, we're restoring our brother in meekness. Something we got to keep our minds focused on is being humble while we do it. Okay, we're going to bear, we're going to come alongside and lift up, share that burden. Again, in verse 3, we can't be proud, arrogant, heady, or high-minded, all the flesh. Just because you didn't go astray doesn't give us the right to say, oh man, I didn't do that. Look at you, you're an idiot. No. We examine ourselves with, you know what, I remember when. Right, I remember my first year preaching. That was atrocious. Two, a little more. Three, life-changing. Third year, might as well erase the first two. Might as well erase the first two. Being patient. Steady. Not amazing. We'll be patient and have mercy on grace on the investments that we think are good. We think might benefit us. And the Bible will teach us the truth. It says, hey, here's an investment that's good for me, for God. Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One that never gave up on us. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. I like that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. that the Lord has used many men in my life, and women. And sometimes the ones that you think that, you know, will never have an impact on you, you know, sometimes it's a word or a phrase they said. You go, really? I'm going to check into that. That's crazy. Or something in passing they said, and it sparked them in the Holy Spirit and just kind of fanned that flame. They didn't probably mean anything by it. But in you, it was like life-changing. You know? That's a good point. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. So we're not proud and arrogant. We're looking at our own self here. We're rejoicing in the fact that by God's grace, we didn't fall into that. We're going to bear our own burdens. And we're going to bring people back to the teaching of God's word here. We're not going to be deceived. All right, God's not mocked. You just can't go and do whatever you want. Romans chapter 6. What you sow, that you're going to reap that. Okay, what you put in is what you're going to get out. If I put in obedience, yielding, submission, I'm going to reap spiritual things. If I put in what I want to do, what I want to do it, how I want to do it, and God, you're doing things for God on your terms, it's the flesh. You're going to have anger, wrath, malice, strife. And you think, I'm doing this for God. Look at Paul. Paul thought he was killing Christians for who? God. For God. Not true. Not good. So when I'm doing things, quote unquote, for God, do I find myself irritated? Do I find myself falling into anger or anxious, my heart rate going up all the time, or whatever, fill in the blank? It's the flesh. We're tricking our brain to go, man, I'm doing it for God. God, why is this happening to me? You're not yielding to God. You're not relaxing, letting God do it for you. There's a difference there. Did you cover that part in Watchman Nee's book yet? No More Christian Life? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyways. If I'm going to bear someone's burden, I can't be going astray. I got to be humble. And I'm going to be part of that body, part of that person's life to bring them back to good teachers. That's Galatians, right? So how can I apply this to my life? What can I do? How can I take this out and go, okay, I see the context, now what can I do? Anybody have a thought? What can I do? This requires action. You just can't sit and pray for people and pray all day. You got to start having some action behind it. What are some actions that we can do in our personal lives? Go ahead, Dave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a fantastic question. Yep, so here's the thing. Every time, I mean, we've discipled one-on-one. I'm talking outside of church, discipled one-on-one. I'm going to say in the 40s of people. And the ones that that very case that you guys are talking about, every single time the Lord has told me, you got to walk away. So it's not really a date. I don't have a date for you. I don't have a timeline. Sometimes it was on the sixth week. Like, man, they just don't want it. You know, and some of them were the third month. I mean, I went to this person's house for a whole year. A whole year. And they said, you know, it's just not for me. You know, breaks your heart. You know, you're like, dang, are you kidding me? We could have stopped this, you know, a long time ago. I've driven in snowstorms, you know. I mean, I'm getting 4 hours of sleep here because I'm driving, you know, an hour one way, an hour back, so 2 hours round trip. But then you go, okay, was it for you or was it for God? And then when you go, oh, okay, it was for God. Or, right, exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So every single time, the Lord has always spoke to my heart on, okay, you've done your part, and you got to let them go. So you let them go. This is how I let them go. I still pray for them. I still reach out to them. They still come to church. But when they come to church, I don't bring up discipleship. I don't bring up following the Lord. I don't bring up any of that. I say, hey, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. You know, and I let them talk about their week. And then I say, hey, you know, that's great. Good to hear. And then I'm going to the next person. So I don't ever bring it back up. I have the Lord convict them to bring it back up to me. Hey, okay, I'm ready now. Or whatever. So I can't give you a specific date, but the Lord will tell you. I mean, he's always told me with the people that I've had to let go of, even people I've witnessed to, and they just will not trust Christ. He's always prompted me, hey, you've done your part, now move on. I look at it, yeah. If they're still hungry and they're still desiring, I stick it out with them. But you can look at someone and be around them and know they've checked out. They've checked out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they go through the motions. You're talking to them and they're there because they're really good at being diligent. They're really good with their calendar. They're really good about, they have good character. But you're talking to them, you know they don't want it. You know, you're looking at them going, I have discernment, right? On, okay, they're really good at being disciplined, but they're not into it. Is that what you're going to say, John? Absolutely. No, it's the, are you holding on or pushing? You know, if I'm holding on to someone because they're getting ahead of me, that's good. And we just got to kind of steer them. But if I have to push someone to follow the Lord, then you got to let go. And again, you still reach out to them, you still pray for them, you still come to church, you still love them where they're at. How you treat them never changes. They need to know it's okay that they can let someone down or not follow the Lord, but the body still accepts them. They have to know that. You know, because the Lord has to speak to them. You can't give them an excuse to, I'm not saying you are, but you can't give someone an excuse on, hey, you know what, you know, as soon as I didn't do what they wanted me to do, then they just dropped me like a sack of potatoes. No. So we still love them, still accept them, because every single time someone walks through those doors, I'm thinking this is the day. This is the day. Or whatever. Next after that phone call, this is the phone call. This is the phone call. I always keep that in my mind. I can't imagine what Paul went through in prison. Writing these letters. This is the letter. All right. On the fourth letter of the Corinthian church, this is the letter. You know. But he always had that. He always had that hope. This is going to be it. Any more questions on this? And be careful with that pressure of burden bearing, because it can weigh you down. But if you stay submitted to the Lord, he'll give you the strength to help this person. He'll give you discernment on when they can feed themselves and say, okay, we've been meeting for X amount of time now. You fed yourself. You know what? I feel good to let you go. The training wheels are off, if you will. And let's see how you do on your own. See how you do on your own. Nothing? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Thankful for Galatians 6 and that pressure of bearing others' burdens. And Lord, I know that as we come alongside people in sin and we help them along the way, that it can bring us down. But allow us to continue to rest in you and understand that we're being used by you to help them get their walk back with you and get back on the right track. And to lead them to that point to where they can feed themselves and stay in line with you on their own and be able to come to us, Lord, on their own with questions. Lord, I just am thankful for our body of believers here and the unity that we have, and myself included, Lord. I pray that all of us would be mindful of those who we might see kind of going off and going astray, that we would do our part to see them restored back to the fold, and that we would rejoice in you, Lord, when they get back on track. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.